everyone, and welcome to Thrifters Villa, a podcast for resellers and entrepreneurs. I'm Daniela.
And I'm Lori. And today we are taking a bit of a turn. We're going to chat about the Netflix miniseries Halston. I'm so excited.
I know, this is something very different. We've never done this before. But Lori and I recently watched the miniseries, which was very good. So if you haven't watched it, you should go watch it. And we thought it'd be fun to just chat a bit about the history behind Halston's brand, the struggles the designer had, growing the brand, and how this can all be reflected into our own personal reselling businesses.
Yeah, Daniela told me about the series and I like jumped right on board and watched it. And I just, as I was watching it, there were so many parallels that like made me think of growing a small business, when to scale and all that. And, you know, I called Daniela, I'm like, let's try this. And yeah, I'm super excited for this. If you haven't watched the series yet, it's okay. We'll try not to spill too many details.
Yeah,
so you can watch it for yourself. I was completely oblivious. Like everything was news to me.
Me too.
To be quite honest. But yeah, so we'll try to be careful about any spoilers.
We won't give any like crazy details, but
right. I mean,
we're gonna reference it.
The history's out there, so yes. I mean, some of it you will just yeah.
You'll know.
Anyways, all right.
See you at the table.
See you at the table.
All right, Halston. Like, he's definitely a designer that I've never really researched. I've never really thought about researching. I've never really given much thought to him until the miniseries.
Yeah, like, I mean, I purchased one vintage Halston something at an estate sale. It was like a simple black dress and it sold pretty quickly. And I probably underpriced it. And had I seen this first, I would have like been a little more enamored by it and like marked it up, because you realize what a moment in time those slinky Halston dresses with the low back, like how special those were and how different they were for the time period. So let's talk a little bit about him. I mean, his real name is Roy Halston Frohwick.
Frohwick? Yeah, Frohwick. He's from Illinois, I believe.
Indiana. This is going to be loose, just so you guys know. Like, all of our knowledge is based off of what we saw.
Notes.
So, yeah, this is not like this. We are not Wikipedia. We should say that.
No, we are not.
We are just learning about him, but we just thought there were so many things that were fun to talk about.
I'll go to the next point. He studied at Indiana University. I will say, in the miniseries, they do talk about his past with his father and his mother, and it can be a little triggering. So if you are going to watch it, just be mindful of that. You know, there was some abuse.
His dad was abusive. Yeah. His dad was abusive, and the way he would cheer his mom up by designing hats for her.
And I think him and his mom had a special relationship. He did leave. They talk about in the series, he leaves, he goes off to Indiana University. And then went to the Art Institute of Chicago. He attended night courses at the Art Institute, and he worked as a fashion merchandiser at an upscale chain department store called Carson. I don't know. It's French. But he worked at a department store. And I feel like in general, you'll see this in the history of Halston. He works at a lot of department stores, but that was kind of big at the time. When you're thinking this is the 60s, 70s, this is when department stores were huge, coming up. So you'll see a lot of that.
Yeah. And he was kind of put on the map for the famous pillbox hat that he designed for Jackie Onassis, so for Jackie Kennedy in 1961, which I knew that hat was iconic. I had no idea he was the designer.
Me neither, until I watched the miniseries and I was like, oh, he designed the pillbox hat, which was huge. That is what Jackie O wore it. And then after she wore it, they mentioned, the way they show in the miniseries is they mentioned on TV that what she was wearing, and Halston's name came up. And then after that, it was every woman wanted a Halston hat because Jackie O wore it. And we see that in present day too. Michelle Obama wears a certain outfit. They name the designer and everyone goes out and tries to find very similar pieces that mimic what Michelle Obama wore. And
Meghan and
Meghan Markle, Kate Middleton.
Oh, totally. That's why I think there are so many points about this that were relevant today. My mother-in-law, actually, I'm trying to think, I think she was married in late 60s and she did pillbox hats for all of her bridesmaids. And Yeah. And that was her inspiration. And it was even years later that it was still kind of hanging on. I even think that by the time she did it, it was probably almost a little passe, but it was, you
but
know,
it was still a trend.
It had made that much of an impact. And I remember her telling me that when I looked at her photographs.
I love that. From her wedding party.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Halston began designing women's wear in 1966. So when in the miniseries, they talk about this, and we also see it here in the notes, he did a lot of elegant pieces. It says sexy yet elegant pieces. And I feel like that was just a trend for Halston. Mm-hmm. Like Lori had said, slinky back, which kind of came a little bit later during the disco scene.
Yeah.
In the beginning, it reminds me of like... I don't know how to describe it. Like when you see Mad Men, right? And those really pretty dresses that they wore in Mad Men with the collars and just the exaggerated, almost baby doll style to the dress, but it was structured, like a lot of those type of pieces. So that's kind of what he was known for at this time. And then in the fall of 1972, he introduced the simple shirtwaist dress, which was made from ultra suede. And this is like a big pivotal point in the miniseries.
This was fascinating. Yes.
So it's a fabric that is washable, durable, and beautiful. It looks like suede. And I believe we still use ultra
almost like suede. A micro suede, like what they make pouches with almost. But like now it's not so luxurious. But at the time, to have a fabric that felt that nice that you could also wash and that was just flattering on everybody. And it was just like that staple piece. And
so he invented the shirt dress, which is huge even today.
Yeah. Unbelievable. And then 2 years later, he offered the world his most iconic design, which was the halter dress.
Yeah. And that was because of the discotheques, because of the club, the night scenes that he was known for a lot of the designs that people saw in the disco era. People love the halter dress in the 60s and 70s. And he was just the guy who did it. I didn't even know that either. That was something new. He pretty basically invented the halter dress.
I don't know about the halter, but like, I remember like when I picture, like if you watched Michelle Pfeiffer in Scarface, the way she was dressed. I mean, she, like when she was dressed up, I feel like, I don't know this to be factual, but I feel like her look was very much like a Halston dress. And we should also probably mention that Elsa Peretti was his muse and his model and, you know, partner in a lot of this. I mean, he was a bear to work with from how he was portrayed on Netflix. And
so tell people who Elsa is. Some people might not know who Elsa is.
Elsa Peretti is one of the few house designers at Tiffany. And she has a very distinct design. I think she did the Tiffany bean. And, you know, like I have a little L that Jay bought me when Angelina was born. It's just a cursive L, very simple, very elegant. And you know, he kind of takes credit for her relationship with Tiffany in this series. He is kind of the connection that puts her in touch. And,
Elsa passed away too.
Yeah. She just passed away in March. Yeah. So that was interesting. And I noticed in the post credits that, you know, they said that she had just passed in March of 2021. Yes. But I feel like when they went to Europe, there was, what was the name of the show that happened in Versailles? Not the Battle of...
Battle of Versailles is the one they...
Okay.
Yeah,
Battle and it was basically European designers like Yves Saint Laurent and...
Givenchy.
It was European designers versus American designers. So Anne Klein was there, Bill Blass, and Halston was invited. Oscar de la Renta, right? So it was a big deal because the woman who coordinated it was basically saying that American designers really didn't get, her name was Eleanor. I don't remember what her last name was.
So I looked her up while I was watching the series. So we're digressing here, but she was like a huge publicist. She was like the fashion guru publicist. Like you went to her if you wanted your brand to be known, which is why she kept saying to Halston in the series, like, you don't want it. You need to do this. Like you don't have a choice. You want your stuff published. You want people to know what your brand is. You're going to do this. Cause Halston, you'll see in the series, is very argumentative. Yeah. He's just a jerk a lot of the time.
Kind of digs his heels in and, you know, draws a line in the sand and he kind of can't get out of his own way in some aspects, because like, she was like, you are super talented and let's go show these Europeans what we're made of.
And gained the respect of the American designers because people didn't respect Halston. And I think they always kind of labeled him as the hat guy. Like, he created hats. Like,
Yeah,
what?
there was definitely a lull after the hats because, you know, he wanted more than that. And then he pitched himself to a department store to be like the name in the department store.
Bergdorf Goodman.
Yep. And, you know, he ended up meeting with them as we give away everything from the industry.
Sorry.
I'm so sorry. Maybe you should save that in the show notes before we start that we lie and we give
Fair
everything
warning,
away.
we lied to you in the intro.
But yeah, he's trying to reinvent himself. I guess we can leave it at that. And he is unsuccessful in that light. You know, he tries to go that route. And so he has this opportunity in Europe, and that is kind of where he explodes with what he comes up with for that fashion show.
Yeah, I agree. We'll also note in here he was very popular with celebrities. And we'll talk about this later on, but celebrities wanted his designs. Like, they saw the unique pieces he was creating. He was creating things that other singers, celebrities weren't wearing. For
Yes,
example,
and specifically Liza
Liza
Minnelli, we
Minnelli.
had a really special relationship, and he dresses her
Everything.
for everything. But in
Everything.
particular, she said that she was struggling in cabaret, dancing and like moving the way she was supposed to move and what they had her in. And if I hope I'm
Yeah,
repeating this
no, you're right.
correctly.
You're right. And he's
And,
been
you
designing
know,
her.
Halston designed something so that she can move the way she needs to move for that. I don't know if it was a particular scene or just the
Right.
whole show.
I
Cabaret is
think
one of
that
my
shows to
favorites.
his like artistic ability too, is I feel like now this is like going down the fashion rabbit hole, but a lot of his pieces have a lot of movement, and they show that a lot in the series. Like, there's the women always have their
Beautiful.
hands up and things are flowing, and I feel like movement in general was a big part of how he designed as an artist, was things had to flow a certain way, fabric had to look a certain way, it had to ripple a certain way,
I
and you'll
completely
see that in his
agree.
pieces.
Yes,
So
that's
it
a
makes
great
sense
point.
that he created things for Liza, because Liza's to this day very active on stage, moves around, arms are going, legs are going, she's dancing, you know, she's all over the place. And she was really, I mean, not
Their
that
relationship was really special.
extremely special. And in terms of like fashion, Liza really wore pantsuits all the time.
Yes.
She wasn't big on the dresses. She had pantsuits. Her wedding dress, quote unquote, was a pantsuit, like
Which
that,
he designed.
which he designed, yes.
And also, she also broke the mold in that sense too, because not, I would imagine that
No
during the
one was doing
60s,
pants.
not many women were performing in pants, you know?
Correct.
So I'm just going on a limb and assuming that, but I think that's pretty interesting. But one of the things to bring it back to like how we can relate it to our small businesses is some of the questions, you know, you have when you watch him is, when did he need to let go? And I think that's hard as a designer or as a small business owner, when to let go. And, you know, in order to scale your business, there are going to be other people making some decisions along the way or who, you know, might not have the same vision as you. And when do you bend and when do you stay true to your brand or true to your vision? And as an artist, I mean, even more so than a small business owner, that's a real challenge. And when you're a hothead like Halston, it was even like next level, you know?
And so we'll talk about, like, well, I guess we can explain now how his demise kind of happened without going, you know, any too deep into it, because we obviously don't know the full scope. We're just going off of what we see on Google. But basically, he was the first guy to brand and license himself in every aspect of every category of fashion. Suitcases, airline wear. Like, he was creating outfits for the flight attendants. He was doing socks. He was doing everything. And it was all his own brand. Perfume. He started doing all these different things. He was the first guy to really do that, who then I
Yes,
think struggled. I think
but
that's where the struggle
what
happened.
you see in that growth is that there were certain things he was really excellent at, like obviously dressing a woman and the elegance and the high fashion stuff. There was also like an entire episode dedicated to the development of his perfume and what went into that and the care in detail to what the scent was. And he met with somebody. And that was like a really great episode, I thought, in coming up with what was going to be his scent and then designing the bottle. And it wasn't a way that perfume bottles had been designed prior to his perfume. And, you know, he put so much effort into that. And then when he kind of launched into, he was all over the place. He kind of became a jack of all trades, and he was not a master of none, but like he got into everything that it just kind of got watered down. And I mean, you could compare this to those of us who have like a really broad-based closet. And I'm not saying that's watered down, but you could contrast it to people who have a curated closet and they're very specific. Mm-hmm. And the pros and cons of both of that. So the pros might be, you know, if you are such a huge brand and, you know, you have your hands in everything, you are a big name, but then what are you still doing well? Like, are you still able to give the detail to the designs that you once did? Right. And I think in his case, the answer was no, he couldn't do it.
No, he couldn't do it. And I mean, there were other factors. So we'll mention he was a drug addict.
Big into Studio 54. It was like the era. It was the scene. There was a lot of time in the series spent, you know,
also a great mini series, well, documentary. There is a documentary on Netflix on Studio 54. So if you haven't watched it, you should watch it after you watch Halston. It's really good. It'll give you a good insight as to what happened and, you know, the behind the scenes stuff. Because they mention Studio 54 closing down and kind of they briefly touch upon it, but when you watch the actual documentary in Studio 54, you understand a little bit more of it. But Studio 54 was huge. That's where all the celebrities went. Mm-hmm. It was the it place, and that's where Halston and Liza and all of Halston's team went all the time.
Every day. It seemed like they were there morning, noon, and night.
They were always there. But if you Google Halston while you're listening to this or afterwards, you will see that a lot of his demise did come from, expanding into all these different places and never really fulfilling his licensing to all these different categories that he was going into. But it was also his drug addiction.
It was mostly drug use. I mean, I think he just ran himself ragged and it just
couldn't focus, couldn't create designs like he once did, snapped a lot at different people. I'm sure he ruined a lot of
broken relationships because of the drug use and just excessive in every way, you know?
But I mean, also not surprising, given how big he was, and like, this is not, I'm not trying to stereotype, but I feel like it's something that you can see often in people who grow to such levels and then kind of get wrapped up in the scene and everyone that they're involved in. And then of course, drugs, cocaine in particular was big. During this disco era, when this was going on, that's when cocaine was really becoming big and hitting the streets in New York. There was a big epidemic, a cocaine epidemic in New York. There's also a great documentary on cocaine on Netflix as well, which kind of ties into all this. I kind of went down a really big rabbit hole after I watched
it. No, it's all right. It's good that you kind of There is a documentary.
I think it's called Crack. I don't know. Don't quote me on that, but there is one. And it talks about the epidemic that there was and how and they touch upon Studio 54 and stuff, but it was everywhere. It wasn't just in Studio 54, it was in the streets. It was just something that everyone kind of got wrapped into. And I felt so, like, watching him go down that hole in the series, like, broke my heart, because
really sad, you know, because you're rooting for him and you see he was kind of on top of the world. And I mean, I guess this happens. I mean, you think of different fashion designers through the years, and not all of them are drug addicts.
Not all of them are doing cocaine. Let's just put that out there. But that's what Halston did.
I have to sneeze.
Okay,
I think I'm good. I think, you know, there are trends. There are, you know, designers that were once on the runway that are now in Kmart. So,
He went to JCPenney, which at the time, I'm going to assume JCPenney was similar to what we know today as more of like a discount department store, but maybe held at a little bit of a higher standard.
I think so. Yeah, because I don't think
department stores in general were always a higher
standard. Department stores were kind of a thing. So I don't, you know, it wasn't Bloomingdale's. I don't think it was ever at that level.
Maybe like a Macy's. Maybe we could consider it like a Macy's level.
Yeah, like from the Macy's Day Parade era when it was kind of still like, because Macy's today is not what Macy's was.
Not at all.
You know, but But yeah, like I remember the second they said JCPenney, I was like, oh, Halston's not going to go for this. And then he did. And I was like, oh, maybe JCPenney was more of a thing back then that yeah. I mean, I was born in 73. So I was, you know, this was not my time.
But he sold his brand, which I don't think many people.
That was crazy. That was crazy.
He sold himself out, which you see a lot of brands do when they get to a certain point and either they can't manage it anymore. Maybe they want to step away from it. Or maybe in his case, he just wasn't producing anymore. And they were like, okay, this is like your last effort, your last chance to produce things and to make and continue growing this brand. But if you don't do this, like you're out, which is what, you know, which ends up happening.
So like Kate Spade wasn't designing for Kate Spade for a while. I mean, I don't know
Kate Spade's full history. We could do another episode on that. I honestly don't
know. I mean, it'd be fun to kind of talk about different designers, but I am pretty sure that Kate Spade was no longer designing her stuff.
I doubt it. I'm sure
in the later years, you know,
Donatella doesn't really design for her stuff. I mean, I'm sure she has a say in certain elements. I'm sure she looks over the designs and says, yes, this is true to the brand, or no, we're not going in this direction whatsoever. Because Michael Kors owns Versace now. So I'm sure Michael Kors has their own design team. She probably is still somewhat involved because she still walks the runway at the end with the models. But I feel like most designers, when they reach a certain point, they have like associates that come in.
So at what point, like, where are you at in your journey? And I mean, this goes for all businesses. When you start to, you know, either, you know, you need a publicist and you need a team and you have talent and you have your models and you have like, it just gets so big and, you know, you start so focused and I can see where you just get spread so thin and, you know, and it can just be too much to handle at some point. And then you have to start scaling and when can you let go? And then he just kind of really fell apart. And then we should probably talk about Calvin Klein and jeans.
Yeah. Cause this is like a pivotal thing. I guess I didn't realize how big Calvin, I mean, I knew how big Calvin Klein was, but I didn't realize Calvin Klein was basically a rival, right, to Halston. Mm-hmm. But it makes sense because Calvin Klein was the American brand after Halston, which I never really put the two together. But for me, Halston, maybe because I worked in Walgreens for so long, I really, being naive and young, only knew Halston for the perfume.
Right.
I never realized that he was his own like brand until I started reselling like clothing and how valuable his clothing is now because of the name and the designs.
Right.
But I only ever knew Halston as being like,
well, because it's like a drugstore perfume now that you probably sold at Walgreens at this stage.
$20 Halston perfume that every woman in like their 50s to 70s wanted. Because that was like the it perfume for them. And that's how I knew it by even men love the Halston perfume. So that's what
I honestly never even smelled it. I don't even know. Like I'm thinking when I was a kid, the big perfume when I was young was like Sunflower. I don't know if you remember Sunflower. And then the Liz Claiborne perfume was big. That was in the red triangle.
Yeah.
And there were certain things that were just, you know, they just remind me of that time, like Paco Rabanne for the guys when I was in high school. it's just funny because I do think that certain scents are like very telling of what era you're from. And so it makes sense that maybe some older women were, you know,
Dalamar,
the Halston,
Chantilly, White Shoulders, all the Elizabeth Ardens, like all of that. And still to this day, that's what that generation buys, right? The powders and all that kind of stuff. So that's what I always associated Halston with.
That's funny. I always thought about the dresses, it was really fascinating. So at the time, I think America was just getting more and more casual. And he was very much a luxury guy. So when Calvin Klein was more, I mean, Polo Ralph Lauren was also mentioned.
They mentioned him, but they mentioned his menswear and his ties that he started coming out with. So he'd be a fascinating one to look into as well, to see when he really started branching out into women's and when he kind of became.
His brand is massive.
I mean, he's the Olympic, he makes all the Olympic gear and stuff. So like he is known, him and Tommy are kind of like current day known as like the American brand, right?
I
the
would red, think so. Blue, yeah. Red, that. White, and blue, very traditional.
Right. Where
classic.
I think at that time when Halston and Ralph were kind of becoming a thing, he was more focused on menswear. And Halston was focused on women. It was
I guess. And I don't know that if Halston was he ever known as like the household name, like the American designer? I don't know if he was.
I think he was known for his dresses. He was known for certain things. I don't know if he was actually, maybe he was, I don't know. Maybe, but I feel like my mom and my grandmother, my mom's only in her early 60s, but like my grandma never mentioned it. My grandma never owned anything by Halston. So I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know if.
Stars. I don't know. Maybe it was a big thing for the stars, which would make sense because a lot of dresses that he made. I do want to point out one thing before we go into Calvin is that Halston was the first designer to create a unisex line, which I think is fascinating.
That's so cool.
But it also makes sense because, you know, he lived in so many different scenes. He, you know, he loved the celebrity lifestyle, but he also was very present in the gay nightclub scene and in his partners and relationships that he had. And I feel like he kind of meshed everything together because that was his lifestyle. So it makes sense he created a unisex line. But back in the 60s and 70s to create
ahead of his time.
That's amazing.
Anyway, yeah, I wonder how it did or if that was just like runway stuff.
I don't know. I feel like when I think of him and how they presented him and just reading his history, I feel like all this stuff was very runway, very much for the supermodels, for the elite.
Except for the shirt dress. I mean, the shirt dress was what allowed, you know, the housewife to get her hands on Halston. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it's so, I mean, it almost reminds me of like a Canada Goose jacket right now. Like you cannot be a millionaire, but you can save your money and get a Canada Goose or get a Louis Vuitton Neverfull bag. You know, like I feel like there are certain pieces that like the suburban housewife will get her hands on, you know, even if it's not high fashion. I mean, But they're it's luxury. So it's a name that they want to wear, right. And they're going to, you know, save their paychecks to buy it. But that's not necessarily how they live their life. So I don't know what his shirt dress was, if it was what the price point was relative to what people were making at the time, if it was something for like upper middle class or what it was, but it was fascinating that he just made something for the masses when he was prior to that more of a runway guy from my understanding.
Right now I just typed in Google Halston shirt dress price and everything that comes up is H by Halston, which is the new diffusion line, which we can talk about as well. Okay. Mm-hmm. So this is a random website, vintage Halston ultra suede shirt dress, $418.
Wow. Okay. That's cool.
$418, but it commands that price. So that is a classic piece that, it is a piece of Americana history. Like there's just no way around it. One sold on Poshmark for a steal of $100.
Well, I don't know. Is it a steal? Or, I mean, I don't know how many are around or if, I mean, sounds kind of cool though. You know, prior to this, I don't know that I would have been that excited.
I wouldn't have been, but now that I know more about Halston, I'm definitely going to be on the lookout more.
Yeah.
Pay attention even for like men's ties and stuff. I'm just curious, like if I find a Halston men's tie, what does that go for? Like what is it, a collector's piece? It could be.
I mean, it probably depends on what era it's from as well. If it's from the JCPenney era, that might not,
right?
When it was mass produced, maybe nothing much, but you know, who knows? It's just, I just found it all so fascinating. But the thing
let's
that
talk
happened
about
was,
Calvin.
Yeah, let's talk about Calvin. So I do remember, I mean, they showed the Calvin Klein commercial with young Brooke Shields, which I thought was so cool. Like the actual commercial they showed on Netflix, but. You know, my impression of what was happening was that just things were getting a little bit more casual and Halston despised the idea of denim. We should probably talk about the guy who played he's from the show The Sinner, the detective.
Yeah. Oh my god, what's his name?
I can't think of his name. I think his name was David in the show.
Yeah, but what's his real name? Hold on. I like him as an actor. I think he's fantastic.
I love him. If you guys have seen The Sinner, he's the one who plays the detective. I loved, you know, season one of The Sinner was my best favorite. Season but,
best season.
What?
Season one was the best season.
Oh, God.
Bill Pullman.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah. So what was his role? Like who?
He is.
No, his name was David, but.
The investor, basically. He invested in Halston when no one else wanted to invest in Halston. He was the guy who was like, and he like pursued Halston. He's like, I want you. Let me invest. You want to mass produce? Let me do that for you. I have a company. I can do this. Like he saw what Halston was and he sunk his teeth right in and didn't let go until he finally was able to make it happen and struck a deal. In the beginning, he let Halston do whatever he wanted. Use your creative energies. Create designs you want to create. Like, I'm going to back you. I want you to do what you want to do. And that was kind of like a promise that they had for each other. Anyway, yeah. In the miniseries, whether it happened in real life or not, I'm going to
assume. Yeah, I don't know. But it seemed like Eleanor and David were the two people who really just believed in him and gave him creative freedom.
Yes.
Until it just got so out of control. And then, you know, everybody was trying to pull the reins in. And it was just a little bit too little too late, but David straight along was kind of encouraging him to come up with some jeans. Like, this is what all the women want to wear. And he
Calvin's just, doing it. And so should you basically.
And he was not having it. And he's like, I am not going to be in Calvin's shadow. Like he's not my competition. I don't believe in jeans then. And then, you know, there's a montage of him just falling apart basically.
Yeah.
But then by the time he comes around and decides like he is gonna, I guess in his eyes, sell out and design jeans and like kind of is starting to think about how he could make it his own, you know, David tells him it's too late. Like Chic was on the scene and Jordache and Calvin was just taking over. And so all these other fashion brands that had denim were, you know, they had the market. And he's like, you know, the market is saturated now. And, you know, basically he was kind of losing his clout. And that seemed to kind of be really
that was the point where I think David, as an investor in the brand and believer in the brand, realized it was time to move on from Halston, which I think was very difficult for him because he had invested so much time and energy into Halston himself, the designer. Yeah. Not even so much the brand, just who he was as a person.
Yeah, absolutely.
And to see like, so when you're an investor, if the numbers aren't good and you're not making money anymore and things are heading in the wrong direction, you're going to sell.
When do you have to stop the bleeding? You know what I mean? Like
at some point you cut the tie and you pass it on to someone else who in turn, the whole JCPenney thing starts, right? That's when JCPenney comes into play. But that was a move that the investors had to make. And I think Halston realized what was happening, but was, I don't know, pretending like it was all going to be okay. But I think he deep down knew like,
yeah, he was just kind of so out of control. He had just kind of lost himself. You know, it was really sad to watch. And I remember talking to you about wanting to do this episode and it was in when everything was going really well. And I had no idea how bad things were going to get. And you're like, oh, just wait.
Just keep watching. Because it gets like, real bad.
Which episode are you on? But it was really sad to watch it. And, you know, it's another thing as far as, you know, chasing trends. Like when, you know, so I think the part that I struggle with that happening to him, aside from all the drugs and all of everything where the writing was kind of on the wall, if I just take the jeans thing in isolation, and I think, you know, this is also the same man that was, you know, kind of a jerk of, as far as the dresses went, but his vision was so spot on and groundbreaking at the time. And that's what put him, you know, the hat obviously put him on the map. Nobody had done that before. So his original thinking is what really got him to where he was. And then the design of the perfume bottle, and then that perfume broke all sorts of records. And then all of a sudden it's like, he was still holding strong to his vision as far as like, I'm not going to do these things called jeans. And then at one point he said he would call them dungarees, but not jeans, which I thought was really funny. Like he had to have something that was different, but then like, that was a bad move. So like, it's crazy how you can misstep as a designer or an entrepreneur, or like, you know, if you miss the boat on something.
Right. And how badly it can hurt you. Or, you know, or maybe if jeans became a flop, which I think everyone knew they weren't going to be a flop because everything was moving towards that more casual realm, right? We're in the 80s. So the mom jean came out. That was like the big thing, was the mom jean. And I think that the investors saw that this was their opportunity. Like, fashion's changing, Halston. You really need to be paying attention. Fashion is changing. Like, and he didn't think it was ever going to change in that way. He was
And he wasn't really paying attention anymore either. He wasn't. I mean, he had so many yes men in his life, and you know, he was throwing money around, and you know, at what point do you just, he just kind of lost touch, you know?
Imagine, let's think hypothetical here. If he did create the gene, would that change Halston as we know today? I don't know. I think it would.
Not to say that he would have still been around right now, but I mean, Calvin isn't what he was.
Right. I think he would have made it to the 90s. I think he would have made it to the 90s with the gene, and then probably slowly.
Who knows? Who knows? But it makes me sad that if this story is the truth, you know what I mean? That was kind of an opportunity that he just like really missed. Like the day I decided that I didn't think Amazon was ever going to take off because I loved sitting in bookstores like Barnes and Noble. And I said, who's going to want to order their books online? When my husband asked me if we should invest. And I was like, nah, you make those decisions. Not that we ever had enough money that it would have changed our life. But if we were older, I'm sure there were people who had money and decided against Amazon, you know, and there were probably people who, you know, invested in Amazon, invested in Tesla, Bitcoin is one, like who knows where that's going to go. Like, but it's funny, these decisions that people make that can really change the trajectory of their career. And I wonder if the genes, I mean, you know, the genes and the drugs and the men and like everything else that was involved went into that. But I mean, if I look at that in isolation, I think it's really interesting. And then Calvin kind of
took off.
Was already taking off, but then
making a comeback now in 2021, which is like, and same with Tommy. Tommy's big right now. It's fascinating to me that these American brands that have stayed, because when you think about it, American fashion is really not as luxurious and as fun as to research and learn about as European fashion, right? Those fashion houses are just, they're much.
I guess it depends on the person who's researching what you're interested in, but yeah.
But when I think of fashion, I think of a lot of the European designers because they're the oldest and they've been around the longest, and the designs they create is what other designers try to mimic or get creative energy from, right? So that's what I usually think of. But when it comes to American fashion, it's very different than what you see in Europe. It's a different style of fashion. We have a different lifestyle here. But it's interesting to see the Tommies, the Ralph Lauren, the, you know, the Calvin, all that stuff. The Calvin Klein jeans are something that kids look for now in the thrift store. Like, that's a cool jean to pick up.
Yeah.
So it's fascinating.
It is fascinating. I also think it's a different era now because of fast fashion. When you think in terms of what, I mean, yes, we have designers who have obviously emerged in some of the brands that we're looking for, like Veronica Beard and, you know,
even
all the designers.
Even a Kate Spade at one point.
Oh, Kate Spade was huge. I remember the day.
Tory Burch.
Yes. I remember I had just had Anthony and I was in La La Land as a mom, like I had no idea what was going on outside of like, you know, Blue's Clues and nursing my baby. And one of the associates who Jay worked with at the time, who still works with today, his wife came over and they didn't have children. And I was like, you know, sitting there sleep deprived, talking with her. And she's like, I want to buy a Kate Spade bag. Have you ever heard of Kate Spade? I'm like, I'm sorry, I haven't. I just
jamboree.
At the time it was like outside a Coach. I really didn't.
Yeah.
And I remember she left and looking up who Kate Spade was. This was 1999. So, I mean, I wasn't a fashionista or anything. She may have been around for years prior to that.
Not too long.
I wouldn't know. It's funny, like when I remember the day that I heard her name, and then it was like, you know, then her bags were super expensive and hard to get and whatnot. But yeah, there's all these phases. But what I was going to say is that I feel like it changes much faster now.
It does. It does. Where back then, I mean, he got a good 25, 30 years, really, of 25 years, maybe we'll say, of like really having the market, you know?
I feel like it really does change so much faster now. I mean, think about just with reselling the brands that were hot when I came on the scene and reselling in August of 2018 versus now, like so quick that, I mean, things that I wouldn't even, you know, touch now that I was searching for. And I mean, obviously we're a couple seasons behind because we're resellers, you know, you would love it if you were like current finding things in the thrift store, but that like half of the Bolo list that people talk about, they're not in thrift stores. Yes. It would be fantastic to find it. But like, you know what I mean? Like, but it's going to be, you know, a needle in the haystack, but yeah, I mean, and that has just changed so fast. And I think now that we have the influence of so many eras, like, you know, the 90s are big and the Y2K is big and the 80s are still hanging around. And like, it's just like, so much is always going on now that I think back during Halston's time, people had more time to focus, and you were looking at newspapers and television. There was no internet. Things were a slower pace. So
yeah. And designs, I feel like, stuck for longer periods of time, like you're
saying. Yeah, that's kind of what I'm trying to say in a very long-winded way. Yes. Thank you. Thank you for the translation.
Designs just stayed around longer. If you even think about like the 40s, the 20s, 30s, 40s, like that style didn't change until the 50s when the skirts changed a little bit. And then you saw the leather jackets come in and then they start to evolve a little bit. Like, I feel like once the 50s hit, things started to change a little bit faster, but like the 20s to the 40s, not much really changed in that time period besides flapper dresses.
And flappers. Like, yeah. Like you think of the flappers in the roaring 20s, but I even think that that was more affluent people. Like, I don't think people like on farms were wearing flapper dresses. You know, like I think of Gatsby in the 20s, you know, but then, I don't know what would define the 30s and 40s really.
It's just,
I mean, it's a lot of Mad Men. Wartime.
It was a lot of Mad Men type, and it was wartime, right? So things, certain materials.
Yeah, Mad Men, I think, was even more like 50s. Late 50s and 60s. Yeah. I think they went from like late 50s, early 60s through, that was like marketing.
Very modest, right? The high neck, a lot of that kind of stuff. But also the material was different then because of the war.
Mm. So exactly. I think the war impacted a lot. Yes.
So Halston in 1984, he was fired from his own company. They let him go.
Heartbreaking.
Yes. Lost all of his rights to all of his designs. Couldn't sell his clothes under his own name if he ever wanted to design again.
Can you imagine?
Couldn't do any of it. So he could never use his name. But he did continue to design. And he designed for Liza. He designed for Martha Graham, who was the ballet director woman in the miniseries. There's a big scene, a big episode on that. In the miniseries, and you guys will have to watch it if you decide to watch it, but it's very beautiful to see him design at this point. This is public knowledge, so I'm not ruining anything from the miniseries, but Halston is diagnosed with AIDS. So during this time, you'll start to see his designs become what they used to be. And it's beautiful to see that at the end of the series, to see that when he's designing these pieces for Liza and for the ballets and for all of his friends, that, you know, the Halston stamp isn't on it, but it's him creating it and people are seeing it. You know, it was beautiful to see that.
He has a real moment of redemption at the end, which was really nice to see. We have such literally given away everything.
Tragic, like, character, and he's a real person, but like just the flaws and everything. It's just, it was nice to have a, I guess, not really a happy ending, but just to see him become himself again.
I felt encouraged by the ending. I mean, it left you like there was a lot of sadness, but I feel like at least within the miniseries, they kind of wrapped it up in a pretty bow, so to speak. And there was some closure, and you feel like he had kind of found himself again before, you know, the end.
So the, like, one thing that we've talked about this now throughout this episode, but being okay to like let go of control. And I struggle with this even in, as a small business, even though we have people that help. You have Caitlin, I have a VA. But there are certain parts of the business, and you see Halston do this like with the designs where he like, yeah, other people can design it, but it's never going to be the way that he wants it to be. And then he throws himself in the mix and he's designing it again. And I think even as a small business, it's very difficult to let go of your baby, different aspects of your baby. It is yours. You are creating it. It is your brand, and you want things to look and feel a certain way. And when you involve other people, yes, they can do an excellent job, but it's never like when you do it, right?
And even if you find someone who's doing an excellent job, like, I mean, Caitlin is, she's only 16 years old, but she does amazing for her age, and she does amazing period, but like for her age, even I think, but then I think I have a finite period of time with her. Even when you have the greatest people, like how long do you have them for? She's going to go to college. I'm going to have to retrain somebody else. And, you know, I was, before we hopped on, I was like on the verge of tears, struggling. My video didn't go live tonight because, you know, I'm using an external hard drive. And like, there are moments like this when I'm like, why am I doing this? Like, I should have an editor help me, not full time, but like, this is crazy. Like, there's probably somebody out there who knows how to do this better than me. And I'm on ready to cry because I spent all this time, you know, like, and you have these moments because you wear all the hats with your small business. And so knowing what you need to hold on to and knowing what you can let go of and when you can let go of, when you can afford it, when you need to invest, even if you can't afford it, like it's hard. Like there were, it struck a lot of chords watching this. And I thought it was really well done. And we should mention that Ewan McGregor played Halston.
Oh, yeah.
And he was just brilliant. He was brilliant.
Matt loved, he watched the miniseries thing. He loved it. When he saw that he was playing Halston, he was like, this is going to be so good.
That's so funny because my husband loves Ewan McGregor as well. And wasn't he in Moulin Rouge?
Yeah.
No. Was that?
No, not Moulin Rouge. He was in
the one he was singing, it was the one he sang in. help me out, people.
No, he was in Moulin Rouge. Yep. No, he was.
Moulin Rouge. He was with Nicole Kidman.
Star Wars, right? And
but I mean, to see that's when I think he won my heart, was when he was in Moulin Rouge, and you know, the singing and the performance I loved so much.
He's just so good.
He's great in this role.
The other thing that is prevalent in this series and also in our own businesses is just outside influences, which can affect anyone at any point in time, no matter what project you're working on, no matter what it is. And for Halston, it was the extravagant lifestyle. It was the partying, the drinking, the nightlife. It was all of that. And it definitely hurt his designs, and it hurt his ability to continue to grow his brand. But for us, right, applying it to us as a small business, outside influences could be something as simple as family things that are going on. You know, different events pop up, and what are you going to do? Like, you got to work, but you got to attend this event too, and you got to take the time. Or there's a family trip that's coming up, and you're not going to miss your family trip. You're going to go on your family trip, and you're going to take a week off. And how you handle that, and how do you bounce back from it too? Like, when all these different events occur in your life, how do you then kind of regroup and get back into it, which sometimes isn't easy. So think of it like working out. How hard is it to get back into working out? Extremely difficult. Extremely difficult. It is the same thing. It is the same concept.
And I think that's one of the reasons for me personally, I struggle with never wanting to take a break from YouTube because I'm so afraid that it's going to be hard to come back. So that's why I stress myself out. Like, I got to do these two videos. I let go of saying Wednesday and Sunday.
Yeah.
Because that was really stressful to like, even, you know, because today I'd be having a mental breakdown, but now I'm just like, oh, well, Lori, maybe the video will go up tomorrow. But like, that is one of the things I really, because I feel like I'm on my way to being burnt out on YouTube currently, how I'm feeling right now. But I'm afraid to take a break for the reason you just mentioned.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just interesting. Like, you know, and I mentioned here how Halston like sold himself out and he's already like mass producing things, right? And kind of got away from who he was as a designer and for his brand. And not saying you can't, I don't know. Can you sell yourself out as a reseller? Maybe if you just follow every single trend and you never stay true to things that you like, maybe. But I find that if I focus too much on what everyone else in the community is doing, what everyone else is picking up. That's kind of like my version of selling out. And I don't want to be that person.
No, I mean, I think that's a great comparison, because I think that is it. And there's so much noise. There's so much noise in what we do now. And I feel like it's even noisier than it was 2 years ago. There are monumentally more resellers out there. There are more opinions. There's more competition. Like, I think that the pandemic gave rise to a ton of new resellers. I don't know if they're all going to be here in 2 years or even a year, but I feel like we are at the height right now. And I think it's hard to kind of find yourself if you're listening to other voices all the time, no matter what you're doing.
Yeah, it really doesn't matter where you are. Trying to stay true to your own brand is something that I think everyone always strives to do. And sometimes it's not possible because you're going in different directions and you kind of, you know, it all depends, I guess, what you're doing with your reselling business.
You may not even know what your brand is yet. Like, my brand has evolved. Yours has evolved. I mean, you didn't start out doing luxury as often as you do. And, you know, I didn't even start out on YouTube. And that's a real passion of mine now. So you may not even know what it is yet. So sometimes that's a challenge too, because when you don't know, I think you do look to other people to find out what is inspiring you and what you're drawn to and what you want to spend your time doing. So you don't have to know what it is, but I think that you can drive yourself crazy. And I think an example for me is when I was on Clubhouse every single day, listening to people talk about Amazon, I totally got sucked in.
That's a great example.
Yes. And I'm in it now, and I haven't made any money. I've lost money, and it's because I'm not putting time into it, because if I do, something else is going to have to give, and I'm not willing to let go of the things that I'm more passionate about, which is my business and Poshmark and YouTube, right, basically. So that's why I really just love this story. And I feel like it made me reflect a lot. And I'm sorry if we gave away too much to people who want to watch it, but I still think it'll be very, I just knew nothing. So everything was a surprise to me when I watched this. And so, I mean, if people listen to this, maybe there's
some juicy things that we did not talk about.
Oh, for sure.
There's a lot of juicy stuff. The stuff we gave you are basically facts. So,
yeah. And also, like, I'll say it once again, this was just
our interpretation
of what we saw on Netflix was an interpretation of, you know what I mean? So we're like several tiers removed, but I still think it was a fun conversation. I'm glad we did it.
I am. And if you guys like this kind of stuff, if you want us to talk about other designers, or if you want us, if there's other documentaries out there that we should watch that are related to fashion, and then we give synopsis on it, that's cool with me. I like watching cool, fun things and then talking about it.
And this was kind of off the cuff. So if we were to like talk about a designer, you know, you did a little bit. Yeah, we could do a little bit more research than just Netflix. But this was still a fun conversation, a good starting point, because I am fascinated by all of the designers who influence us. And
I agree. And we're going to end this episode with a quote from Halston himself. And it is, clothes should be practical, glamorous, functional, and spare. But mine weren't always simple. Some of the simplest looks were actually the most complicated. And I think that quote right there explains him as a person.
100%. Go watch Halston.
Yes. And let us know what you think.
Let us know what you think. Thank you so much for joining us today as we deviate from our norm. We're good at doing this. All right. So thank you, everybody, for joining us. And we'll be back next week.
See you next week, friends.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Hey, everyone. Thanks so much for listening to this week's episode. This is just a reminder that Thrifters Villa's Patreon is officially live. You can find us on patreon.com/thriftersvilla. It is just $5 a month, where we're going to offer you bonus content, extra episodes, a free downloadable a month, and live events. So make sure to check us out there, and we will see you next week.